Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10, the pass completes his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done something. 22 to Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is going on? Happy Friday. Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Rajah Bell. I am riding solo today. We're going to do something a little different than we usually do. Rajah's out. Hannah's working on CBS Sports HQ. You should go check that out for sure, CBSSportsHQ.com. It's pretty cool. All your sports and information, news, highlights, 24/7, and it's free. That's the best part about it. So my man Debo is going to hold it down with me today. And five-star Q&A is one of our favorite segments that we do every week. And we're going to do kind of a hybrid version of that, where usually you have to go subscribe and download on iTunes and leave us a five-star review, and in the review, leave us a question. This time, we just opened it up for a little Twitter Q&A.
And Instagram.
And Instagram. You threw it out there, too.
A little bit.
So if you don't, make sure you go follow us on Twitter and Instagram, at Cannell and Bell. And we're going to jump all over the place, because I've perused a couple of these questions, and they're all over the place, which is actually what I love. But also I wanted to give a shout out to our listeners, our bench warmers, because we've been up for about 6 months and you guys have been doing a fantastic job interacting with us on Twitter. Debo holds down our Twitter handle, does a fantastic job with that. But, we really appreciate all the support. We've really grown a lot in the first 6 months. We're looking forward to bigger things to come. We do have a couple announcements in the next probably month that you'll hear about and you might even be able to see. So, we're excited about some things that the, Cannell and Bell podcast has coming up in the near future. So make sure keeping an eyes out for that. All right, you ready to go?
Let's do it. Let's All not right. avoid anything at the start. Let's get right into
All right,
it.
Let's do it.
We're not meant to avoid anything
nope.
on this pod. From Kelly _V_22, is Danny Cannell overrated or underrated?
Ooh, so there should be a properly rated option in this one. I would say... See, I don't know if our bosses listen to this. I'm going to say underrated. I'm going to say I'm under the radar right now.
Agreed. Flying Hog, I don't know if he agrees with this. Flying Hog, 1961. How do you still have a job?
That is a fantastic question.
Another one for our bosses.
Exactly. Every time I wake up, I say, I can't believe I get to do this for a living. I get to talk about sports. It's a great gig. I would be doing it anyway if I was out playing golf with my buddies, if I was out hanging out. I'd be on Twitter anyway, talking smack, doing all this stuff, and it is my job, so I feel very fortunate to do it. So I don't even know the answer to that question.
You're going
to
sense an early theme here, and Levi G5020 is a guy on Twitter talking smack. Do you believe the shit that comes out of your mouth?
All right, Levi G5020. I will never, I make this promise to you, Debo, and to all of our listeners, I will never make something up, a take, just to have a different angle, to have a different side, to get reaction. I promise, everything I put out there, I actually do believe the crap that comes out of my mouth.
One more of these. We're going to hold off on SEC talk until later. Make okay. you guys listen.
Yeah, there was some
Stay
of those.
Tuned.
I saw some of those coming in.
This one from Dar36830. You love the ones that just have all the numbers in it because you can tell they're just trolls off the bat. Yeah. Why do you keep talking?
Well, it's my job.
Right.
I get paid to do it. And I actually enjoy it. I enjoy going back and forth. I actually love it when there's a debate, when there's a conversation that goes back and forth. That is one of my favorite things about social media, is the back and forth. Like, I sometimes think about what this business was like before. Like, if you were doing a radio show and all you had was callers, but you really didn't have that instant feedback. And now, you know, people either love or hate what's coming out of your mouth within 10 seconds. Like, you get the replies. So, I don't know. I like it. And I do get tired of Twitter sometimes because it does become a grind and it can wear on you, all the negativity. That's why I haven't been tweeting as much the last couple months. I just kind of took a little break from it, put out a little bit. But I'm going to start interacting a little more because I like the back and forth.
This one from me. How would you grade your Twitter persona in 2018? Remember that
yes.
year's resolution?
Yeah. I see. I
Give
know.
Give me a letter grade.
I'd say C. I haven't tweeted as much. But I also know, I'm like, this isn't going to be a popular take because I do feel Twitter is a very certain demographic. I don't feel there are a lot of people that think the same way that I do are out there. So if I come out with a take against paying college athletes, I know it's going to get slammed by a younger, millennial generation that, you know, wants them paid or something along those lines. So I do get that. So I don't know. I'd say C, but I don't want to change who I am just to appease the masses. Sometimes I've wondered that. Wouldn't it be fun just to put stuff out there that's snarky, yes, that kind of goes along with the crowd, that just gets a ton of boatload of retweets and likes because it falls in line with the popular opinion? But I don't want to do that.
It's not about the likes, not about the retweets.
That's right.
About what you believe. Now that we're done with that slander, yeah, a little bit of fun. This one, I'm just going to say it, my favorite question out of all of them, from Matt Gathman, a loyal listener of the pod. Would you rather take a 102-mile-per-hour foul tip to the groin or be choke slammed by Raja?
I'll say all day long, I'd rather be choke slammed by Raja. I don't want anything going near the groin. Raja, too. I think we should actually do this. Like, we need to go out and shoot some hoops with Raja. But I was going to say, like, we should reenact the Kobe clothesline. And it's either you or me who's going down, because we can't have Hannah get clotheslined. But we should do that. We should do some sort of reenactment.
So what do we do to make Raja mad to get to that point?
Because Raja says he blacked out. I don't know. He hasn't got that fired up. We haven't really got into it about any, like, where we've gotten that heated. But I, you know what we can do? It should be some kind of Hurricanes versus Seminoles deal. Like, that's what I think would get him fired up.
I like that. From Casey Smith, what are better, pancakes or waffles?
Waffles. I don't like the way syrup just kind of seeps in and just soaks in the pancake. Like, it just becomes part of the pancake. But with waffles, it actually holds it in the little squares. And I never used to be a big pancakes or waffles guy. I'm not a big breakfast guy. But now that I have kids, like, I take them out to breakfast all the time. And so I end up eating their leftovers and waffles because it just holds there perfectly.
That was a much more educated take than I thought you
would
have on
that.
From Go Robe, college football traditions, what is your number one?
I mean, come on. It's everybody's number one, Debo. It's when you see Renegade and Chief Osceola come out at Doak Campbell Stadium, right there at the 50 with the burning spear. The whole crowd's doing the tomahawk chop, and he slams it down, plants the spear. There's nothing better. There are a lot of good ones.
Number two.
Probably there's a couple. Probably Clemson coming down, rubbing the rock, coming down the hill. Like, that's pretty cool. Although I would be terrified if I was a player that I would trip and bust it. That's a steep hill. I've actually been down it and tried. You can get out of control in a hurry. The other one, too, and I've actually met the Eagle, the War Eagle from Auburn. And Auburn's like a fantastic place to watch a game. But I've actually met, that thing is huge. But to see that come down like before the game and circle the stadium, I think that's pretty cool. Although I don't think that's in anyone's top five college football traditions at all.
This is kind of our college football section. From Casey Nelson, your favorite college stadium to play in, not Doak.
This one's easy, but it's one that nobody else will be able to play in again because it's the old Orange Bowl since closed. I actually played in the last game ever held at the old Orange Bowl. It was the Orange Bowl when we played Notre Dame. It was my senior year. We closed it out with a win. But that place, so that was a highlight for my career. But one of my worst games, one of my worst moments ever was in my junior year when I started down there. We were playing Miami. We were both top 10. And I threw three picks, got benched. And I remember because Mark Richt was our quarterback coach. And so he called me into his office. He's like, hey, he's like, this game's different. And I was like, and I had some success. Like, it was four or five games into the season. And I was like, yeah, I know. It's going to be a different game. Like, it'll be a lot of speed. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, no. He's like, it's going to be crazy. He's like, it's going to be loud. These guys are fast. They're going to hit. And I'm like, yeah. So we go out there, and I kind of was like, all right, it's going to be different. There was a lot of media coverage. First drive of the game. We go down the field like five or six plays like clockwork. Like just, and I'm like, this ain't that big a deal. Like, this is a piece of cake. Get down in the red zone, try to squeeze one in like a tight window, throw a pick, and from there it was all downhill. Ray Lewis, Warren Sapp, a ton of NFL dudes on that defense, and they just got after me all night long. And Warren Sapp did not stop letting me hear about it. I got benched when I got back to Tallahassee. This kind of dates me a little bit. But I played back my answering machine, and there were like four or five messages of people just berating me, like, you should have your scholarship revoked. You suck. And that was the moment that I unlisted my number because I had it public.
Yeah, I was going to say, how'd they get your number?
Because it was like in the phone book, you know?
When you were doing well.
Yeah, exactly. So that's when I unlisted my number from that moment
forward. How many times you play in the Orange Bowl?
As a starter, just that one, twice. So that game, my worst, and one of my worst and one of my best. Yeah.
All right. The next one, talking about the favorite college stadium to play in. This one from Adam Lemarice. Favorite college football stadium you've called a game at besides Florida State?
That's actually been one of the my favorite parts of this job, has been to get to travel
all over
and see a lot of them. I actually haven't been to many SEC games. I don't know. Maybe I just go easier on them so they let me call them. Yeah, exactly. I've been to a lot of them, not actually called a game there. One of the underrated ones was the Blue Turf. Boise, I've called that one. But probably my favorite one that I just saw this past season was Nebraska. Like getting to go to Lincoln, and they were awful. Like they had a bad year. But they have I think they have the record for most sellouts, consecutive sellouts. The fan base is phenomenal, like the Sea of Red. And it's a pretty cool atmosphere. I've called games.
How about atmosphere besides just stadium?
Clemson.
Entire Saturday atmosphere.
Clemson. But I will say this, because I've called games at Arkansas. I've called games at Mississippi State, like not exactly the premier SEC programs. But tailgating scenes, you can't beat that. No one even comes close. Like
not
I was doing an Arkansas. No, it's crazy. It's Arkansas was doing a game. I remember the first time I went to an SEC game, it was an Arkansas game. And it was in Fayetteville. And I'm pulling, I remember driving to the game, and I'm like, we're not even close to the stadium. And there were RVs like backed up, and it was packed. And this is like 3 hours before the game. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of different. And everybody tailgates, but the magnitude and the dedication to the craft, like big screen TVs, cookers, like all this, like just to the nines. Like it was super impressive.
I know we have some Penn State listeners out there.
Oh, here we go.
A little problem.
I've never been to a Penn State game.
Wow.
I've never been to the campus.
Got to change that.
Yeah.
Got to get
Canelo. Because that's the thing. Like, there are other schools that can rival the SEC, but top to bottom,
oh, absolutely.
Nobody does it like the SEC.
From FSU two times, what will it take for Coach Bowden to get his wins back?
Ooh.
The fact that Paterno did,
Yeah, speaking from your Penn State guy. Sadly, I don't think it'll happen, but the games happen. Like, that's why I think it's the dumbest thing in the world that the NCAA does when they dock teams for wins, or they take away titles, or they take away trophies, as they did with Reggie Bush. I think it's probably the dumbest punishment that you could give. Fine the universities. Like, do something different than, you know, harming the guys that played that probably had nothing to do with it. Now, a lot of guys were cheating, but you still do something different.
From Brian Martinez, why does Lamar Jackson get no love, but Baker does?
So that's a good question, because they're both Heisman Trophy winners. They both had phenomenal years in their respective. Baker was better, I will say that. But Lamar Jackson, I think, is the sleeper pick of this draft. I thought he should have been grouped with those top five quarterbacks, or four quarterbacks. I thought he should have been in that group. And I think he's probably in one of the best situations, because I think the Flacco era is coming to a close, and I think he is one of the most talented athletes you're going to see playing the position. And I think he could really be a Michael Vick 2.0.
From Alec Karen, if you could choose any NFL team to play for, who would you pick? And then same thing goes for the MLB.
So I wasn't a huge NFL fan growing up. I rooted for the Dolphins, but I wasn't aware of like franchises, history. I mean, just from a casual fan perspective. But I was really lucky to play for the two of the organizations I played for. The Giants, when I was drafted by them, it's an outstanding organization. Playing in New York is different. It really is. It's the biggest media market in the world. You get better opportunities, whether it's endorsements, whether it's broadcasting or otherwise. And then Denver. The Denver Broncos was a fantastic franchise. I would say I'd probably go back and do it with the Giants. And then Major League Baseball, it's a no-brainer. I grew up a Yankees fan. I would say Yankees all day long. And I think that's probably what every Major League Baseball player would say.
So from Wes Roberts, back to your baseball days, which current MLB pitcher do you think resembles your style? What was your style?
That's a good question. So I threw 91, 92 coming out of high school. Pretty good movement. I had a decent curveball. I threw a split finger. I don't know. I don't know enough.
You guys tell us based on that description.
Right, exactly.
Tweet back
like,
at
because
us.
Because I actually remember, because the split finger was the San Francisco Giants kind of had this whole staff that had a bunch of guys But then it became like this controversial pitch because guys were blowing out their arms. So when I got to Florida State, I was playing baseball. I was trying to do both. I was trying to be Shohei Ohtani before it happened. And they let me do it. They let me play both just because I was kind of just trying to find a way on the field. But they wouldn't let me throw the split finger. And it really, like, I hated it because I felt like it was one of my better pitches. I don't know. I'd have to find out a guy. Like, I would love to say, like, Roger Clemens or Nolan Ryan. Like, that would have been my goal to be like them. But I wasn't reaching 95, 96. Now, I gave it up when I was 19, 20 because I stopped playing my sophomore year. And then when I went back and played minor league baseball, I played as a position player. I wonder what I could have gotten up to because I didn't lift very much. Like, if I would have pushed myself, started lifting, getting into a heavy routine, and seen if I could have gotten my velocity up, I would have said my mentality would have been like those guys. Like, I like to go after guys.
Shohei before Shohei. Yeah. So I think I know the answer to this next one. And if you've been listening to the pod, I thank you guys too. From Doug Girth. What do you think of Kyler Murray at OU? Elite footballer and potential first-round MLB draft pick. What's the choice, stay or go?
All right. You might be surprised by this, Debo. I say, why not do both? Because, excuse me. All right. I say do both because you can get paid for Major League Baseball and you can still play college football. And I would basically approach it. Now, this is, you have to get drafted by a team that'll let you do this if you're a baseball player. And you'd have to be, Oklahoma would have to be okay letting you do this. But I would approach it like it's your summer job. Like, you're going to leave as soon as the school year's out, May, whatever, like right about now. You go join your baseball team. It's probably minor league baseball. You go play it until August, and then you go back and you play football. Because you can get that, the money, and you have that security, and then you can go back and play, be a part of an incredible college football experience. I think the expectations on him are going to be crazy because of what Baker Mayfield did. I followed a Heisman Trophy winner. It's not easy. People expect you to do the same types of things. And you, in baseball, like if you said right now he has to pick one or the other, I don't think he's an NFL player. So I would say go take the money and run. And that money's guaranteed.
And you followed a Heisman Trophy and two sport athletes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. From Steve Moonley, who do you think was the most talented DB you ever played against at practice or in a real game?
So, oh, this is easy. Deion Sanders, one of the best ever. But I will say this too. So when I got to Florida State, I went up early, and it was one of the coolest things because we'd go out there, and it was only players in the summertime. We'd go up there for summer workouts, and we'd go throw one-on-one. We'd throw routes. We'd do a little bit of seven-on-seven, but this was no coaches were allowed out there. And Terrell Buckley, he had just finished up. He was going pro, and he was working out with us, and I remember him. He was pretty nasty as far as just locking guys down too. Now, he was familiar with a lot of the routes because it was Florida State guys, but he could close like nobody else. But Deion, I actually did throw him a pick six on Monday Night Football when he was with the Cowboys, but my receiver slipped and fell down. David Patton.
We're not playing. Oh, wow. You said the name.
Yeah. No, that was my receiver. I'll throw him under the bus because he would admit it.
I was going to say, we're not playing the blame game, and then right. You said the receiver's name. From Justice Max. So this guy out here running his own Twitter polls, not just asking us the question, but running his own poll, which currently has 13 votes, but who is better for Danny's career, Tiki Barber or Ryan Russillo?
What did the poll results show? I'm going to guess Russillo won.
0% Tiki, 69% Ryan, and then he didn't list this in the question, but 31% Coach Bowden.
Nice. I would say neither. I got cut from the Giants, and I got fired from ESPN, so why would I say any of those guys were good for my career?
Justice Mack ran another poll, and he said, does Danny wish he had a front office job?
Ooh, I would say, if you could hand me the keys, I think it'd be pretty cool. Like John Elway got, but
John Lynch.
Yeah.
Broadcast.
Yeah. I would love to do it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think from that perspective, but I don't know. If I was going to go into either a front office or a coaching gig, I'd probably want to do something a little bit more hands-on where you actually get to be on the field at game level while it's going on, as opposed to having to sit back. That would drive me nuts. Like, not being a part of the play calling, not being a part of the interaction with the players on game day.
So you'd be one of those overbearing GMs.
No, I would rather be a coach.
I got you.
Yeah, and if I that's why I think I would be a bad GM. I would be an overbearing GM.
From Donkey Punch 0007.
Nice.
The hard-hitting questions now.
Okay.
Saw Tom Brady earlier this week.
Yeah.
What is the proper height for wearing a turtleneck? You are the foremost turtleneck expert, I think, in the United States. How high is too high?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say 6'4", that's my height, is the perfect height. You don't want to have a long neck. Medium-sized neck is probably appropriate. And I would say never go with the mock neck. That's a bad look. There are a lot of college football coaches that have tried the mock neck. It doesn't work. It never worked. And I would say the texture, you don't want it too thick of a turtleneck, because one of the ones I wore was too thick under the suit. And I think that was the one that got mocked the most. So you want to wear one that's specifically fit for wearing with a suit.
Can't just have one turtleneck question. Michael DeRosa cracking me up. Danny, are you ever concerned that the turtlenecks will cut off blood flow to your brain? Are turtlenecks the real weapon on the war against football?
Maybe so. And I should be worried about maybe it cutting off the blood flow to my brain, because I've had some bad takes. So maybe that's it. I feel like this podcast is a lot of Kinnell. Like, I wish Raja was here. I miss my man Raja, because I like a little back and forth. So I don't know. I feel like I'm talking too much, but you're doing a good job throwing me these questions. Hopefully,
we'll have
people aren't
getting one day
a little
that
overload.
You're out, one day that you're sick, we're going to have a Raja Bell Twitter Q&A, even though he still has yet to develop a Twitter. So, Danny, you were a two-time guest on fellow podcast, Part of My Take. This one from Jacob Martin, and he tagged Barstool Big Cat in there, where you talked about the war on the war on football. So how's the war on football, and how can we prove concussions aren't real? Big football guy here. Thanks. Love your stuff.
All right. Financially, the war on football is failing because the numbers are up. The ratings are up for the NFL. The draft just had a huge monster numbers. But I would say the war on football from a grassroots perspective, I think football is on the verge of extinction. I really do. Like, in the next 20, 30 years, I think you're going to see a drastic change. It's not, and if it is around, it's not going to be what we were watching now. I think you're already seeing that with the conversations around kickoffs. Like, I don't think that's going to be around for another couple. They're going to do away with kickoffs within a few years. And the question about how can we prove concussions aren't real, that one actually really bothers me, because my view on concussions, I think, gets distorted a lot. Because when I say that,
set them straight.
Exactly. So people will come out and they're like, oh, you probably don't believe in global warming, or you don't believe this or that. CTE is real. Concussions are real. They're a very serious problem. They're something that we should absolutely look into and get as much research as we can. But the fear is outpacing the science right now. Parents, people, football players themselves are terrified, and they should be concerned. I don't think they should be terrified. And parents are pulling their kids from the sport in droves. They're taking their kids out of the game of football because they're terrified of what it can do. And I don't think there's enough conclusive evidence. You have studies that are out there. Yes, there are football players that have tragically ended their lives because and then they've been postmortem. They've been diagnosed with CTE because they've studied their brains. But, man, I don't think there's anywhere enough scientific evidence that says if you play football, you are going to get CTE, and it is going to lead to suicide or some of the awful, tragic stuff that you've seen happen. I think you have to look at each one of those cases and say, all right, what part did drug abuse play in them? What part did alcohol abuse play in them? What part of mental disorders, family disorders that you might have in your history play on them? Because, yes, there have been over 100 guys, and you know there have been 110 brains studied, and 108 of them have had CTE. It's some, you know, 98% of them. But it's a biased study, and I hate to get too like technical on you, but those guys were displaying evidence of the symptoms. They were, what's the word I'm looking for? They were displaying, what does it go when you look on WebMD and you put in symptoms? Is that what it is?
Yeah. You already said symptoms.
Yeah, I already said symptoms. That's what they're already showing. So it's a biased sample. I would also love to know how many brains have been studied of people that didn't play in the NFL that have CTE, because I think there are a boatload that are out there. And the opiate problem that our country is facing right now, how do we know those aren't turning our brains into mush? Because I think that is a huge problem, and I think they could play just as big a factor in CTE as playing football does.
If you're going to quote Danny on concussions and CTE, don't take a sentence. Take that whole three-minute segment.
Yes.
Give him
full
context.
I am passionate about it.
I can see it. Mm-hmm. You're also passionate about the next topic, the SEC.
Yes.
So we had some trolls. I want you to answer these quicker, just so we're able to say to these guys that we answered those questions.
Yep.
From PB Rock 124. Why is Has I'm not going to say it, it just speaks
don't
for itself.
Don't tempt me. Don't
Why
tempt me.
Why is Has the SEC dominated college football for the past 20 years? That's exactly how the question was written.
First of all, it hasn't been 20. It's been about 10, and I would say the domination has been over exaggerated. That's been my biggest problem with it. Yes, there was a stretch when they had 7 in a row, 6 in a row. And they've had 7 out of 10. It's been really impressive. But they've also had the benefit of getting an automatic berth, whether it was the BCS era, and you had Bama get back in without winning the SEC, whether it was this past year where Bama gets a gift in the national championship over Ohio State, who won the championship of the toughest college football conference this past season. And yes, it was the deepest, the Big Ten was. But they're the dominance. They, at the times when they were the best, they were better, but it wasn't that much different than the ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12, or Big 12. They're just not that much better, and that's what drives me nuts, is that they're put on this pedestal like, oh, they're that minor league for the NFL. They're good. They're not that much better than everybody else.
This next guy's handle says it all. From Matt Online, why does the SEC own everything about college football?
All right, I will say this. They do own everything because of the money. Follow the money. And the Big Ten, I think that's a reason why the Big Ten is right on their heels, because they're also one of the guys that have the best TV contracts that are out there. So follow the money.
From the Real TO14, why do fans of the bottom feeder teams in the SEC ride the coattails of Bama? And secondly, why are Bama fans okay with it?
Because if you have nothing to cheer for, you're going to root for your conference, which is what most of the SEC fanboys do. And I've actually had a lot of Bama fans that don't like it. So I don't know if Bama fans are okay with it. I will say this. I have no idea why Bama fans feel they have to get this SEC message, because their track record speaks for itself. Just be Bama. You don't have to be SEC Bama. Just be Bama. You guys are awesome.
I like these hypotheticals from Vincent Silva. Would you make this deal? You qualify to play in the U.S. Open, but Bama wins the national championship in football each year for the next decade. I don't know if you can take that. You can even choose which year you qualify and pick Pebble next year.
Heck no, I wouldn't take this deal. I would take a deal if it was I get to qualify for the next 10 years. Every year that Bama qualifies for the national championship, I get to play. Trust me, I would have no chance to win. Neither would Tony Romo, who's out there trying to do it too.
You would have a
but
better
I would
chance
love than playing the courses.
Yeah. From Aaron Orozco, and I love when you can tell that these questions come from guys that have listened to the show throughout and stuff that have come from previous podcasts. You mentioned your time with Chris Chandler in Atlanta. Have you seen him since? And if so, how did it go? If not, what do you think it would be like if you did see him?
So I like Chris. Like, we had a blast together. We played a ton of golf together. He's a really good golfer. He's better than me. I think he was coaching either a high school golf team, but he's got a great family. He was hanging out with them. I think it'd be fine. I'm trying to think of the last time I ran into him. It's been at least 5 years, maybe 10. I forget if it was a golf outing or something, but it would be cool. Like, I think it would be like you're seeing an old high school teammate or a high school classmate. I mean, that's kind of what it'd be like with most of the guys I played with. It'd be fun to catch up and see what they're up to.
No beef.
No beef at all.
From Weston Lawrence, rank these Michaels in terms of who changed their industry the most. Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, Michael Scott.
That's a really good question. So Michael Jackson, king of pop, Jordan the GOAT, Michael Scott, the king of the paper industry. I would say, man, that's tough. I would probably go with one of the MJs. I love The Office. It's fantastic. It was great. Although it wasn't the original.
No.
Like, that's the thing. Like, the original Office rip-off is actually pretty good with Ricky
Gervais.
It's
like you're the original turtleneck wearer.
Exactly.
Tom Brady is.
Yeah, he's the ripoff. Exactly. He's ripping me off. I would say Michael Jackson, because you have Elvis Presley, was the original, like, king of rock and roll. So I'm going to go with Michael Jordan, although there were basketball players before him. But I was a big MJ guy growing up, Michael Jordan, that is, with the poster in my room, like multiple posters in my room.
Which one?
The one where he's holding out the basketballs, and it's like the full, yeah. It was like 6 feet wide. And then I also had the one where he's doing the foul line dunk in the dunk contest, and it's like the side angle, and it looks like he's flying. And then I also had the Dream Team. I was a big basketball nut in high school.
From Rogue Oki, what is more important than this one? Very timely, Mother's Day or your mom's birthday?
You can't win on this one. You better get both right, and you better get her gifts for both ones, or else you're going to be in the doghouse. But I love my mom. A happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day.
And her birthday is July 4th, so happy birthday coming up
there
soon, too.
This one from a coworker of ours, Ryan Stryker, who helps out with some of our Twitter creations and social media creations. If you were arrested with no explanation, what would your friends and family assume you had done? Careful.
Probably got into a fight with an SEC fan. Like, they know how much I get a hard time from SEC fans. That would probably be it.
This is terrible. Did you see the LSU fan, super fan, that was murdered the other day by his neighbor?
Oh, no. Don't say this. Is this an like, that does kind of scare. My wife actually gets scared of some of the SEC fans. And there have been a couple times when I was at ESPN where I called ESPN security and had them just shoot a little direct message to a couple followers that were giving me a hard time, because I mean, you get Harvey Updike. Like, there are some nuts out there. There are people that are mentally unstable, and some of them happen to be SEC fans. It does concern me sometimes. But fortunately, I hope everybody realizes I just like trash talk. I like going back and forth. I like the dialogue. I love passionate football fans. And I hope people realize that, including the SEC.
What was the other option going to be?
Speeding, probably. Like going too fast or too many speeding tickets. But that's not that serious. I don't think they would. You can't get arrested for that.
How about this next one from recurring guest of the podcast, Dan Orlovsky 7, who's just blowing up in the NFL
he's doing a fantastic
football
job
media
too.
World. What five NFL players could put up the best run, not win, but best run against the Warriors, Rockets, Cavs, Celts, and why? We need a lineup here.
All right, so you need some height. So I wish I could get a guy like Calvin Johnson who's done. Who's
let
retired,
me throw some options at you.
I would put Calvin Johnson in there because if I get like all-time guys, like T.O.
He's probably 32, yeah.
So I'll get Terrell Owens. I'll get Calvin Johnson. I'll get any quarterbacks out. Like, I know Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford are pretty good. Like, you need a point guard. I don't know how their handles are, though. I don't know if they'd be able to hang. Maybe they could be a three-point shot from the outside.
Guys, like McNabb played basketball at Syracuse.
That's true, but he'd have to get into shape first. Yeah, he'd have to get into shape first before he did.
Jimmy Graham played basketball
at
Miami.
Oh, for sure, Jimmy Graham. Antonio Gates, another one with weight issues. I don't know if I'd want him on there. I would take Jimmy Graham in a heartbeat. So you've got three that are pretty good. Anybody even taller?
Like Julio, Gronk.
How about I got one? Guys. I got one for you.
What you got?
Andrew Villanueva for the Steelers. Isn't he like 6'9"?
Alejandro,
yeah. How tall is he?
I think 6'9".
Yeah, I would take him. You need a
just
big man.
In the post.
You need somebody, yeah, like your designated hacker. And then I need somebody, like I wonder if Odell Beckham, I know he's a soccer guy, but like I need somebody with a handle. Like I could envision Odell Beckham
There's
being kind of a
of
Russell
him dunking.
Westbrook.
Have you seen him dunking?
Yeah, so I would take him. Like he'd run the point for me because I have a feeling he would play the game like Russell Westbrook.
Just Cam?
Yeah, but he's too selfish.
You don't want that on your team. All right, like a couple more. From Funny Man One, another guy, Joe, who's one of our most loyal listeners and most loyal Twitter followers. This one really makes you think. How do Zambonis work?
I grew up in South Florida. We didn't really have Zambonis. I have no idea. Don't they do something? All I know is after you go to a hockey game, you see the ice starts to dry out. Then they go out there. After the Zamboni goes, it looks nice and sleek and wet, like they put some water down, right? You have no idea? I'm guessing, like, isn't it one of those things, like, you know the things that go concrete and they go over with the huge wheel, like, that goes around? Don't they have something like that, and then there's water that shoots out, and then they go over the ice so it smooths it out
just
and it makes
it
wet?
Say it with confidence, Danny.
Yeah, that's what it does. Boom, right there.
When's the last hockey game you were at?
It's been a long time. 10 years, maybe 15. It's been a long time.
From Jason Steinbeck, what gas station has the best food choices here? This one might spark a debate.
Oh, this is easy. Because I'm actually, my wife is super healthy. She doesn't really have that best snacks that are around, so I'm often visiting gas stations to pick up stuff. I will say this. I moved away from South Florida to move to ESPN up to Connecticut 6 years ago. When I came back, it was like, I came back to the hotbed of gas stations. Like, every one of them had been redone. The Wawas around here are insane. Like,
in
they absolutely, yeah, in a good way. Like, this, all the food options, candy options, drink options, all of it, top to bottom, clean, like bathrooms, they're insane.
Like, that's what I like to hear.
They're insane. Like, it used to be like you didn't want, you'd have to wash your hands as soon as you left the gas station. Like, you'd have to look around, was it safe? Wawas, off the chain.
Wawa, sponsor us.
Do it. Bring it.
Have you ever been to a Sheetz?
I have not. I've been to a Flying J. Is that what it is? Those are probably the second choice I would go with. Sheetz, are they in Florida? I don't think I've seen a Sheetz in Florida. I've seen them other places, but I don't think I've seen them here. But I've heard they're pretty good, too. So if they want to sponsor us, they can.
From our guy, CB Morning, always coming through. And Raj is not here. But do we think, we don't know this answer for sure. Do we think Raja finally got his first win in Fortnite? See on that David Price.
Yeah, exactly. Carpal tunnel syndrome. Yeah. He definitely has it from Fortnite, too, because he's definitely getting it. I would say no, because I follow Raj on Instagram. I think he would have put something out there, or he would have come in here and told us about it. So I'm going to say no, not yet.
All right.
But I wonder if one of his kids have, though, because they're probably more dedicated
definitely.
Than he is. Yeah.
Now we move to the Instagram portion of the show, and this one from E. DeBaradinas.
Oh, who's that?
Just happens to be not me. It's my sister.
Oh, no way.
Shout out to my sister, Elizabeth, for this one.
You guys are both E's?
Both E's. What's one talent you wish you had?
Now, is this like super talent or is this like anything. A superhero talent?
She messaged me yesterday, said, does it have to be sports related? So no, this can just be anything.
It. That's a great question. Good job. I would say I wish I could do a couple. Like, I wish I was a musician. I wish I was musically inclined where I could go to a piano and just play or pick up a guitar and play. Does that count? Like, that's two things?
Yes.
But I wish I could do that. Like, I think that's really cool when you go to a wedding or and like there's a piano somewhere and somebody just goes over and starts playing. And every athlete wishes he was a singer and every singer wishes he was an athlete.
I like, mean, bar you did none. Both.
Exactly. I'm a dual threat.
From 8 of 18, how far do you hit a 7 iron?
Good question.
And why don't you like free Travis Matthew hats?
I don't know why they said that because I love Travis.
I feel you
Travis
rocking
Matthew
it all
is
the time.
My guy. That's my favorite hat to wear is Travis Matthew and gear across the board. They're great. They're actually friends of mine. I do pay for their. I have paid for their hats. They're worth it. They have the best golfing hats on the market right now. 7 iron. I used to. Should I give them the used to number? Or I should give them the number currently. Currently, I'm at like 160. I used to be able to hit it like 180. I got back issues, so I can't get as much rotation now as I used to. So I've lost a little distance with the iron game. So I'm gonna have to start switching to the.
How is the golf game?
Not bad, actually. Since I moved back. I've been playing with my daughter a bunch. Like, we go out and just work on the short game.
Yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been playing a lot more recently. I'm going to try to get back to scratch. And I'm going to try to do it with my daughter. Like, that's why it's fun, because she's out there playing. She's getting pretty good. So I'm going to try to get it back to scratch. I'm a 5 right now, so I got to get it down a few strokes.
Not bad. From Brandon Gilbert, who will be a breakout star in college football this season?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say he's not a break. I would say, like, a Kyler Murray, if he stays at Oklahoma, I think he could be. I'm trying to think. I don't follow enough recruiting and stuff to get out there. Oh, what's my man's name from Clemson? Sunshine. It's
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence. I think he could take the job from Kelly Bryant at Clemson. And Tua. Well, I should go with Tua, but I think like he's already broken out, even though he played the one game at Alabama. But I feel like Tua Tagovailoa or Trevor Lawrence are going to be going toe-to-toe, one of the two best teams in the country, and they might even square off in a national championship game.
From Jared Wirtz, our last Instagram question, just a few more. If Debo, Raja, and Hannah took the SAT right now and you had to throw $1,000 on one of them, who do you choose to have the highest score?
This is a really
very
good question.
Interested in this,
this
one.
This is a very good question. You guys are all smart.
Set up some qualifiers. Don't make anyone mad.
So Debo went to Penn State. Hannah went to Syracuse and North Florida. Is that what she
yes.
went? She went to two schools. Raja, FIU degree.
And Boston.
Raja's and BU. He's a smart guy. You guys are all pretty smart. Like, that's a good thing, is that I think these would all be really impressive scores. I'm going to go with my man Raja just because I want to give him some shine here. I think you would be really – I think you're pretty smart. You work hard. I think you probably were studious. Hannah, same boat. You weren't studious. You weren't a good student? You had a good
decent.
Time? Yeah, you graduated, though. That's all that matters. So I'll go with my man, Raja. Of course, right below mine.
Right, of course.
Right before my 1600.
I'm going to ask you just a couple here
yep.
that I just made up,
okay.
just as backups. But
yep.
we had a great response.
Okay.
I'm going to do a couple more. How many windows do you think there are in New York City?
There are 6 million people.
This is a question I used to ask, like, in interviews.
Yeah,
it's
a good one.
And there's no right answer, but if you give a wrong answer, it's very obvious.
Yeah, I think the population of New York City is 6 million, around that. I'm going to say there are more windows than people. No, I'm not. Hold on a sec. I'm going to say 4 million windows. Do you know the number? Is there an answer?
No, there's no number. There's no answer. I would say a lot more.
Really?
There's no answer, but... I'm going to put that as a Twitter poll.
But I was just thinking, based on the population, because I've spent a lot of time in New York City. There's a lot of windows, obviously. But if you put every building that was filled with people, wouldn't there be?
There's more.
More windows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is what you come to.
That's right.
Off the bench
I don't
for.
Know. I think there would be just less. That's a good. I like that one.
What was the last photo you took on your phone?
The last photo I took on my phone yesterday,
golfing.
I was with my daughter. We did some photos. Oh, here we go. How about my daughter and me at the course the other day, walking out to the range?
Adorable.
Yeah.
That's
so we'll have to post that one out there.
What's the last thing you Googled?
Let's see. It's probably something with my daughter as well. How do you even look that up? I guess history.
History.
My daughter, what did we Google the other day? She's always grabbed my phone. So my daughter does not have a phone. She's 11 and she's kind of ticked off about it because a lot of her friends have it.
She's getting to that.
She's constantly grabbing my phone and saying, hey, I need to find this out. Probably something like how to make slime. Like that's all the rage right now. Something like that.
Dad, I got to delete one of your tweets.
Yeah.
What do we got here? How's the gambling going? Since Patrick Reed.
So it's been a little bit of a dilemma for me because I've never had this problem, and it's a good problem to have because I hit it big. So I was like, all right, I'm going to get some of this money out because all I've done is put it in, and it's taking forever. I actually, through this process, have opened a Bitcoin account to try to get paid, which is fascinating because that thing goes up and down every day. But I talk about gambling a lot. I love doing it, but it's a very tight range. Like I don't put that much money into it because I don't want to go out there and lose everything. So I would say, like it always has, it's up and it's down, and it's probably mostly down because I think it's the hardest, dumbest thing to do to actually make money. And my thing is, I think the successful gamblers probably get about a 10% return on their money, maybe that.
If that.
And I'm always trying to double the money. So that's not a recipe for success.
Go-to dance move.
What's that?
What's your go-to dance move?
The head bob, like stand in the back, off to the side, kind of, you know, just kind of give a little head bob, maybe a little bit arm action in there, get the crowd up. But yeah, I'm not
push
going all in.
Push them
up.
Yeah,
a little push them up. Yeah, a little bit of that.
Last question here.
I'm a slow dance guy.
You ready?
Yeah.
How do you think this podcast went?
Too much Canel. Way too much Canel. We need our boy Raja back is what we need. You've done a good job. I feel like it's too much Canel, but thanks for the questions.
Learned about
appreciate
you.
It. Yeah, I hope so. A side of Canel that you've never heard before. Thanks for checking it out. If you stuck around this long, God bless you. It's been amazing. I hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. We will be back on Monday, the full cast of characters of Off the Bench. And make sure you go follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Canel and Bell. Go download, subscribe on iTunes, and you can find us anywhere the podcasts are available.